keeping pace with the latest Trots news. Welcome to RSN Central's Gate Speed.
It is time for Gate Speed. Now, each and every Monday, I am really happy to announce that one of the greats, Anthony Butt, one of the great drivers Australasia has ever produced, will be joining us each and every Monday, along with Adam Hamilton for Gate Speed, to talk about the big issues in harness racing and discuss what happened there in the past weekend and what we can look forward to in the sport of harness racing. And he's arrived at a pretty good time as well, and he joins us now making his debut on Gate Speed as a permanent fixture. Hello to you, Ants. Thanks for your time, mate.
Yeah, good afternoon, Gareth.
You're ready to go too, aren't you? You're going to come off the long run at times, but I'm really looking forward to your insights. And Adam Hamilton is our regular, of course, and he joins us now. Good afternoon to you, Adam.
Hey, Gareth and Ants, great to be on with you guys. And mixed emotions here. Was I not enough, Gareth? You had to usurp me and bring in a big gun.
No, I just thought it'd be a great mixture. You've always been trying to tell Ants how to drive over the years, and I'm looking forward to Ants telling you how it should be reported on from time to time. Yeah. So
We've been doing that. There's been mutual advice.
Hey, Ants, just quickly, we'll start off with what's happening down in New Zealand today. We've got that really good meeting at Ashburton. We see Self Assured go around as $1.35 favourite in the Flying Stakes, $1.35, and then Pembroke Playboy at $5, and Krug's at $5. Interesting to see how Krug goes against a horse like Self Assured.
Yeah, big step up for him, Gareth. You know, it's been done in the past. He's, you know, the old days, he was about 4-year-olds, and, you know, there's been a few 4-year-olds win the New Zealand Cup, which is only a couple of weeks away. So, you know, big step up with Self Assured in there, but he's a classy animal, and interesting to see how he lines up.
If you had to drive right now in the... Oh, sorry, Adam, go.
No, I was just going to say, just on Krug, do we worry at all, Ants, that American Dealer has come back from Queensland and, OK, he might not be his absolute best, but is there a little question mark on that 3-year-old form from Queensland and around Krug?
Yeah, definitely, Adam, yeah. I think that's a fair point. I think Krug was probably down a bit on his best, you know, the last couple of nights in Queensland, and you know, he showed New Zealand prior to that he's a, you know, a high-class horse and won both derbies there, which is not easy to do in New Zealand. So, you know, I think he'll eventually end up a Grand Circuit horse and probably one of the better ones. But, you know, it's early enough in his career now to be taking on these, you know, superstar free-for-allers.
Who would you like to be driving in the New Zealand Cup, Ants, right now?
Oh, I think Self Assured's, you know, head and shoulders above anything else at the moment. Copy that. In there, I thought his run was pretty good the other night, even though he got beaten. So, yeah, it's probably a race down in depth, you know, for what we've seen in the past.
Adam, who's the best 3-year-old filly right now racing in Australasia? Beach Music defeated Better Twist first up there in the 3-year-old classic at Geelong. We know that Beach Music was no match for Ladies in Red there in the Victoria Oaks. Who's your number one seed at the moment, Adam?
Right. It's a good topic. I actually led my Harness Racing Victoria column, which has just come out now at trots.com.au, with that very, very discussion point. And I'm keen to hear Ants' take. But right now, it simply has to be Ladies in Red, because she just, you know, there's no knock on her whatsoever. But that's not to say that it won't change over the next month. This Breeders' Crown is going to be fascinating. Of all of the wonderful races in this Breeders' Crown, and so I think these 3-year-old fillies are really special. And you've got greater insight than anybody. You follow those New Zealand races so closely. When Better Twist came over, they said, this is as good a filly as we've seen in modern history out of New Zealand. She was beaten, but she probably needed a first up.
Yeah. She's a really high-class filly, Adam. You know, she's a great record in New Zealand, but I think the depth in New Zealand, what she was beating, is probably down a bit to what she's got to meet here. And I agree with you. Like, Ladies in Red's just been, you know, a phenomenon, really, since she started racing. And, you know, I'm sure she could go with not only the 3-year-old colt, she would probably hold her own in the free-for-allers. So it's going to be some great racing, and it's probably going to come down to the barrier draws and the big ones. And, you know, Ladies in Red would have to be very good to sit outside, Better Twist, and vice versa. So it's going to be, you know, a mouth-watering clashes, you know, coming up.
Ants, I'll go to you here with our next topic. From a driving and training point of view, do you get frustrated sometimes? And I'm letting this go this year because of the change of the seasons, but we can't continue to have clashes like a Len Smith mile and a 4 and 5 year old championship going forward, can we?
No, we can't, Gareth. You know, and now with the change of year, change of season, we've got the whole 12 months to work these things out. And I'd like to get these administrators, lock them in a room and get them to all leave their egos at the door and thresh it out. And there's got to be a little bit of give and take. You know, we're not a big enough industry to have these clashes. And all you're really doing is it's hurting your own participants, you know, in your own backyard. Like, so I'm sure there's room to move and it's just got to be done.
Adam?
Gareth, there's been a lot of positives out of the change of the season. We know that. We've already seen the results of it with the Derby and the Oaks and Victoria move to the new time slot and the incredible turnover figures around that. And obviously where the Breeders' Crown, getting out of August and getting into November and Vic Bred finals last year. As you said, we can accept a few hiccups because it's so new, but we cannot accept this ever happening again. The pool of horses is simply not deep enough and there's not enough opportunities around for David Aitken to have to choose. And he's only one person, but why should David Aitken have to choose between two top-level races with a horse like Max Delight coming off a Victoria Cup win? And that's what he's got to do this week, and that's what Luke McCarthy's had to do with the Expensive Ego and Dean Braun with Willie Go West maybe as well, and the list goes on, guys.
Yep. And I think it's been one of my pet hates a little, and this is before the season's changed, the Country Cup circuit here in Victoria and the South Australian Cup, I know that they've tried to move it a few times. It's just too congested, and that's the reason why some of our fields haven't been, there hasn't been full fields for those Country Cups, Ants, because it's just too hard to keep backing your horse up.
That's right, Gareth. There's just so many races for them nowadays that, you know, you can pick and choose, and we don't want that. We want the best meeting as often as we can, and that's what the sport's all about. And, you know, we all love it when these great horses, especially from different areas, come together and meet in the good races.
Gareth, just really quickly on that, you mentioned the South Australian Cup. Here's something radical. That was one of the great nights on the calendar, and it's lost. It's gone. Yeah. And it's devastating for Australia, not just South Australia. Let's think outside the square. Let's get the race back. Let's get some serious prize money in it. And let's make it a leg of the Country Cups Carnival. Let's embrace South Australia. South Australia, our horses will go race there. And we want to put our arms around them, help them have a big race. Let's work together to make it happen.
Yep, I like that idea, and hopefully that can happen in South Australia. I think working more closely with Victoria can only benefit that state. Next race from Warrnambool, not far away, and your favourite here is Sassy Sell at 240, Demon Sell at 280. If you've got a question for Ants or Adam, 0416 90 50 52, 0416 90 50 52, send them in, and we'll get time to ask the lads a few questions. Michelle Payne will be joining me here live at Flemington in about 12.25, 12.30, so looking forward to catching up with Michelle. Gareth Hall, Anthony Button, Adam Hamilton with you on Gate Speed on this Monday afternoon. Let's talk about the Geelong Cup right now. Adam, General Dodge, geez, he was impressive to sprint off that pace, and that last quarter was sizzling, and he was off the track doing it. It was just an unbelievable performance, dare I say it. It was on the Mighty Quinn. And Hector J like with that high speed.
So I think we all knew that he was capable of, or potentially capable of doing that. We'd seen it at different times at the races. We saw it in the trial early in the preparation. But the credit to Mick Chirkop goes for picking this horse back up. I think in retrospect, burning off the gate in that first race probably just unravelled him a little bit when maybe he wasn't ready to do it. Then obviously something went wrong at Kilmore. He was okay in the Victoria Cup, but he's got miles in his legs now, and there's no substitute for that. And he just ambled up to them and put them away in the blink of an eye. So it's hugely exciting. He hasn't thrown in a last-minute nom for the Len Smith. I would have thought about it.
Yeah, would you go there with him, Ants, General Dodge, to Len Smith? And you were driving Amazing Dream there on Saturday night. And if I told you that you would sprint home on the fence in 26.9 and a horse would come out wide and defeat you there on Saturday night. You probably wouldn't have believed me.
No, that's right, guys. It was a great performance. You know, I was in front with the Maze Dream and she got beautiful sectionals and she was really jogging around the bend. And when I dashed, you know, we were going and, you know, I was shocked of my life when a horse has come out of the pack and just went straight past it. You know, like, not many horses could do that. And he's obviously a high-class horse with great speed. And when he's on his game, he's very, very good. So, you know, great to see him back in form. And, you know, the team behind him have obviously done a fantastic job to get him back to his best.
Yeah, he's an 8-year-old, rising 9-year-old. The Mick Shirt Cop, he's sort of, he can't wait for too much longer, Rance. He's sort of got to get going now and throw him in the deep end, which he's done already this season, competing in a races like a Victoria Cup. But if he can produce that type of turn of foot, geez, he's going to be competitive in some of the bigger races coming up, surely.
Yeah, definitely. Like a horse like that, they can win any race. Like, they're not going to win every start, but when the race sets up for them and with that high speed, you know, whenever things pan out, you know, they, as you said, they can win any race they go in.
You still happy with the mare heading towards the Group 1, the Queen of the Pacific, on Saturday night at Melton?
Yeah, I am. I thought she's really good, you know. She had a chance to win and just got out-sprinted. But, you know, Tango Tara was on her back and couldn't beat her. And they were, you know, well clear of the fourth one. So, no, she's going good. We all know she's probably better in behind. But sometimes you've got to drive the race instead of the horse. And, you know, as she said, she's ticking away and being really competitive against the big boys. So, you know, she's a bit of the same. She can win any race, but, you know, things just got to set up good for her.
Who's her biggest danger come Saturday, Adam?
Yeah, well, that's tricky, isn't it? I would have said in the blink of an eye, Spellbound before Saturday night. I'm not too harsh on her because it was a walk and a sprint home, and when she tried to make ground, they were going, you know, 27 in front. But I still expected a bit more from her. Maybe she was just a tad flat second up. She's still right in the mix. Margita was certainly better. The Pantheist, obviously good in front as well. Look, I'd still lean to Spellbound because she hasn't been getting draws. But, to me, it's even things up a bit. There's no question Amazing Dream is a standout, the one to beat. But who the main danger is, I think, now sits on the draw. Probably still lean slightly to Spellbound.
It was a big day yesterday for Brent Lilly. His 3-year-old trotter's really come to the fore in the heats of the Victoria Derby there, Ants. And you drove Kyvelli Hotspur, who led all of the way and was impressive to my eye. You're confident that he can go on and win a final now or a Victoria Trotters Derby?
Yeah, I am, Gareth. Yeah, he's a lovely horse and he's got a pretty good record, you know, all season and seems to be hitting his peak at the right time. So, you know, he won pretty soft from the finish up the straight. He dashed home a really good half, so yeah, he's got to be in the mix. The stable mates, obviously, going to be very hard to beat. But no, I'm really happy to be on my guy. Yep.
Yeah. Who's the number one? Oh, sorry. Go, Adam.
No, you're right. I was just going to say to Ants, just take us through the home straight there because you let them get really close to you around the bend. And, you know, the race still looked a real contest and the margin wasn't great at the finish. But you were really nursing. There was still plenty in the tank.
Yeah, there was, Gareth. Yeah, he's a horse, he trots better when he's up on the bit, and I actually kicked the flag sort of heading into the last bend, just thinking he'd sort of get on the bit a bit more and he'd trot good within the last bend, but he took off and really sprinted, and I was a little bit worried that it was going too quickly in that last bend, but yeah, he was strong, and I think he's a lovely horse, and he can do a bit of work, and, you know, as I said, he was holding them up pretty easy up the straight.
Yeah, it's going to be a great derby. I think, Adam, that Brent Lilly will win, I just don't know which one.
Yeah. Well, look, I would have said Aldebaran Zeus off yesterday, but that sheds a different light, and that's why we get someone like Ants on, isn't it, to give us that insight. So I think one of the two are clearly the horses to beat. Just looking at the others, I mean, Utopia's run was excellent when you consider the splits they ran home in. And, you know, you got to respect Sunita's strength being able to sit outside them.
Hey, Ants, what do you make of a trotter like Majestuoso?
Oh, he's very good, Gareth, you know, on the day. You know, he's still got a little way to go to get up to the Tonale Valleys and the great horse from the past, but he's very fast. But, you know, probably one of those horses when things don't go exactly his own way, he's not going to win every week. But, Yeah, I think he's still the benchmark around, and it was a pretty good run. They went 27 something down the back, and I was actually following him, and they dropped most of the field off. So, you know, I wouldn't throw him away just yet, but, you know, as I said, he's got that speed that always carries, you know, those trotters a long way.
Do you still rate him as the number one trotter in the country, Ant? I mean, Adam?
Oh, look, it's an even crop. Look, I do. It's tricky when he gets in races where, on paper, he has to be driven a bit upside down, and he really had to yesterday, because if Majestuoso didn't come around, Sleepy leads, dictates, and just wins. But when Majestuoso came around, obviously Josh Duggan drove to beat the main danger Majestuoso, and 27.3 down the back for trotters. Now, that's off the charts fast. So it wasn't a real surprise that Aldebaran Crescent, and Is That a Bit? Just airborne. Aldebaran Crescent absolutely jogged it in at the finish. So, you know, they probably undid each other a little bit down the back straight. But when Majestuoso can be driven for that one run, he's just lethal. He's just got that X factor about him that gives him a slight edge. But he's not unbeatable, as we've seen, and he's not going to win every feature. He's just the one to beat, I think.
Adam, what about the Breeders' Challenge finals coming up there? It's a big weekend of harness racing in New South Wales with those finals and also the Len Smith. What are you looking forward to most?
Well, look, so many of them. But the key, I mean, obviously we're in Victoria, and the key to watching these is so many of them will come down for the Breeders' Crown afterwards. So it's not just a New South Wales race. It's a race that's going to have massive influence on our feature races as well. There's no doubt Jared Elshin's got a couple of incredible two-year-olds. And, you know, my ultimate Byron, and what's the other one? Ronnie. There's so many my ultimates around. I get them mixed up all the time. But he's got a couple of incredible ones. I mean, you know, there's a genuine chance if they get really serious with small tees in it, they can break 150 for two-year-olds in this race. You know, Ants, I'm not saying they're better than ours, but just the two-year-olds in general. I mean, we used to shake our heads when we saw the American two-year-olds go on 150. Now, ours are doing it.
Yeah, that's right, Adam. It's just a breed we've got nowadays, isn't it? They're just so fast, and there's so many of them. You know, once upon a time, you'd get one or two standouts each year, but there seems to be so much depth now. And as I said, you can run a nice fifth or sixth and still go an amazing race in a fast time. So, yeah, it's going to be some great racing there Saturday night in Sydney. There's, you know, a few of the matchups are going to be good, and really looking forward to watching the replays.
And Gareth, just quickly, sorry, Harry Martin, what a wonderful story. Didn't we? We just all fell in love with Harry when he had double identity, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and Miracle Mile, Victoria Cup, and I haven't seen Harry in ages, but what a thrill for him to have Tishan Raider as the one to beat in this final.
Yeah, terrific story. And he is a great character, Harry, and he deserves to have another really good horse. And it's some horse too, isn't it, Adam? He's got high speed and he's tough, and he's the complete package. And he might be the horse that takes Harry on another wonderful ride, taking on and competing in some of the biggest races in harness racing.
Yep, I think it's terrific. And when you think Tasty Delight's not in this series, but, you know, he's their other really good three-year-old, trained by Brian Portelli, it's lovely. You know, look, we all love the champion stables, but it's also beautiful when we have a couple of left fielders having potential megastars as well.
Hey, Ants, there's a decision on Chicago Bull in the next couple of days whether they retire him or they have enough time to get him right, depending on what the vet says regarding his bloods with a virus that he's got, and they can get him right for their bigger summer races in the early part of next year. How much time do you need to get a horse like him ready for a race like that?
Yeah, well, obviously it's not ideal, Gareth. You know, he's getting older. He's had a great career. He's had a couple of those, you know, major injuries over the years. So it'll be a great training feat to get him back at that top level. And, you know, one thing we've always found over the years that, you know, it doesn't matter how good these horses are, you know, they all come to the end of it sooner or later. So, you know, he's in a great stable, and they'll know what they're doing. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, the end is near, sort of thing. Yeah.
A few questions coming through. this one for you, Ants. What did you say to Jason Lee after the line in the Geelong Cup? I noticed you talking with him, just interested in what was said. The Dodge was breathtaking on Saturday night.
Yeah, I always like to congratulate the drivers when they win, you know, when they beat you even. You know, we're all highly competitive, but we're all good mates too. So, no, all I said to him was, well done, mate, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good thrill for him. He's driven a lot of nice horses over the years, but this is a horse that is so exciting. He's probably only got one season with him, really, to compete in the bigger races. So, yeah, he's a talent, Jason. Late afternoon, I watch a lot of Tassie Harness, and there's been three falls over the last three weekends. Two-part questions to Ants. Are the drivers not giving each other enough room and driving too tight? And are the new sulkies easier to flip, which could be causing this? This is from Tony. Of course, Tony's daughter drives in Tassie.
Yeah, no, I actually think the new sulkies are safer. They're a bit heavier and they're a little bit, the wheels are a bit wider, so we've got a bit more of a base to, they don't flip as easy. So, no, I don't think it's the sulkies. I can't comment too much on these smashes. I haven't seen them, but I have seen a couple in Sydney just the last couple of weeks, and especially on the half-mile tracks, and I think the smaller tracks are more trouble than anything else. You know, the horses are so fast these days, and they can't handle these, you know, the old half-mile tracks. So I think they cause more trouble than anything.
Do you know what makes me so angry these days, Ants? Is that drivers in the concluding stages as well, and it happens too often. It happens a lot in Gloucester Park. It happened at Mildura the other night, and there's been a few other situations, is that when they drift off the fence a little bit, which most drivers do these days, there too many people and drivers are locking wheels, Ants.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that easier said than... I think they've got to get suspended, like, because it hurts the punter. There's no doubt about that, but they're getting too close and locking wheels, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And sometimes it's unavoidable, but it's happening too often. And I think sometimes the drivers are just sometimes too casual and not careful enough, because, as you see, when it happens, it takes you out of the race 9 times out of 10. So, yeah, I think sometimes, you know, the drivers have got to be a little bit answerable.
Yeah. And do you think too often that drivers are drifting off trying to get an advantage when they're in front?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's been a common problem for a long time, and there's been some masters at it over the years, and I won't mention any names, but yeah, I agree. Like, you know, some horses will drift off, and it's not easy to correct them because you do lose your momentum, but there are some that do it a little bit on purpose, and, you know, perhaps it is time that the stewards just, you know, clamp down on a little bit more.
Adam, I want to back King of Swing for the Inter-Dominion. Is it Chips in? I can't see him getting beat looking at the horse that will be heading to New South Wales. Your thoughts?
Look, I wouldn't say Chips in, but I would say he's an absolute standout. I want to see Expensive Ego this week. We know that Expensive Ego wasn't far off King of Swing at Miracle Mile time. I think King Expensive Ego wasn't at his best in the Queensland winter, and I want to see if he can come out and make a statement in the Len Smith. No, look, to answer your question, no, it's not Chips in, although King of Swing's record at Menangle is so good because there's one line, and he's able to get to the front in most of his races and quite probably will in the Inter-Dominion. But for me, no, he's not Chips in, but he's the one to beat.
Ants, do you have any? Have you been booked for any of the Inter-Dominion horses going forward? Will you be heading to New South Wales?
Yeah, I hope to be, Gareth. Yeah, I think Mary Law is going to go, and Amazing Dream's still up here a little bit, but indications are she may go. Just see what happens. But yeah, so hopefully we can pick up something. And yeah, I think agree with Adam. You know, King of Swing's probably the best horse, but, you know, I don't think he's past the post. And but this year is probably going to be down a bit on depth, and that's probably the, you know, because of all the conditions and the travel, there's going to be a few top liners not coming. So, shame to see. But, yeah, it's going to be, you know, probably a series that's down a bit on quality than what we've seen in the past.
Gareth, I've got to take the opportunity here, because a couple of weeks ago, we got pretty red hot about King of Swing's Victoria Cup run and where it left him in the scheme of things. Ants, is he an absolute all-time great champion, or would an all-time great champion have still won that Victoria Cup?
No, I think Lochinvar Art in the same boat probably would have won. He's a great, great horse. I drove him last year in the Victoria Cup, and, you know, it gave me a huge admiration for the horse. He's a beautiful horse to drive and things like that. But, yeah, you know, he's hard to beat in any race, but he's not unbeatable. So, you know, you go back to the days of Blake Safake and horses like that, but, you know, they just line up and win, you know, despite the circumstances. So I don't think he's quite there, but I'd love to have him in the stable.
Why on that matter, did you overdrive Amazing Dream to defeat King of Swing?
Probably, but I'm there to win. And I thought,
yeah,
I thought before the race, my only shot to beat him was to do what I did. And I thought Amazing Dream was pretty disappointing on the night. But, yeah, as I said, when we drive, you know, I'd sooner have a crack at winning than to drive for second or third. So that's what we do. Sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong.
And you've got it right more times than not, Ants, and that's why you're one of the greats. And, geez, it's been a stellar debut, Adam, from Ants Butts. He'll call it as he sees it, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Great to have you on, Ants. And just one other one quickly. Mark Purden telling me that with the almost confirmation that the Inter Dominion Heats will go to Newcastle and Bathurst, that you can put the fork through Self Assured. He won't be coming to the Inter.
And Ants is...
I think Coffey, that was the same. He's not coming because of that reason as well. A shame.
Yeah, which is disappointing. Ants, thanks for that, mate. Who knows? You might get a few of your fellow Kiwis sending you a couple of horses maybe for the Inter-Dominion, my mail is. So we'll catch up with you next week, and good luck today at Cranbourne. Have you got a winner for us?
Thanks, boys. I've got a couple of handy drives. I'm driving a trotter with a French name. I'm not going to try and pronounce it, but it goes pretty good. Chris Lang normally drives it, but he's not coming today. So he's a free-running horse. He's a bit hard to control, but he's got a bit of ability. I think he's
going to
be the best drive.
We'll jump on. Good on you, Ants. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
Just quickly, Gareth, we did mention Dale Brown would join us with Stake Money News today. That's going to happen on Thursday, so I'll let you tell the listeners all about that.
Great stuff, mate. Thanks for that.